Hey there, and welcome back to Jesus for Her. If this is your first time tuning in, I'm Kathy, and I'm your host. Here I talk about everyday common topics through a biblical perspective. So I hope everyone had a wonderful Easter. Today I wanted to talk about spiritual cataracts, or some people call it scales or a veil, but I'll compare it to physical cataracts because people that have physical cataracts, they see the world through foggy glass. Everything appears blurry to them. The only way for them to regain their vision is through surgery, and this requires a doctor. Spiritual cataracts is similar because it clouds our perception of the truth and of God. People that have spiritual cataracts, they can't see the truth, and there's an obstruction, there's a veil. And many times we have people in our lives who don't believe in God or Jesus, and because of our personal testimonies or experience, we want others to know God too, because we received freedom from things that kept us in chains. We received peace and we received love. So why wouldn't we want to share that with others? So the Bible also instructs us to share this good news with others as well. However, it's important to know that it's not something that can be forced. Just like physical cataracts require a doctor, the removal of spiritual cataracts, it requires God. So I'll start in 2 Corinthians 3:16-18. Since this new way gives us such confidence, we can be very bold. But we are not like Moses, who put a veil over his face so the people of Israel would not see the glory, even though it was destined to fade away. But the people's minds were hardened, and to this day, whenever the old covenant is being read, the same veil covers their minds, so they cannot understand the truth. And this veil can be removed only by believing in Christ. Yes, even today, when they read Moses' writing, their hearts are covered with that veil, and they do not understand. So this next verse is very important. But whenever someone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. For the Lord is the Spirit, and wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. So all of us who have had that veil removed can see and reflect the glory of the Lord. And the Lord, who is the Spirit, makes us more and more like Him as we are changed into His glorious image. So a veil is just a barrier, and it's usually a see-through thin fabric that's worn over the head, often by women, for a covering or for a wedding or a religious reason. So Moses first used the veil because of the glory of God shining in his face after he had an encounter with God on Mount Sinai. The people of Israel, they were afraid because his face just radiated such powerful light. The same veil that hid Moses' face lies on the hearts of those who do not believe in Jesus. They can't see the glory of Christ because this veil covers their hearts. Just like the Jewish religious leaders resisted in accepting the truth about Jesus because of their obsession with their tradition, many today also find themselves blinded by their own belief. Their hearts remain hardened. They don't believe in Jesus as Lord and Savior. And as much as you want someone to know or get to know the truth about Jesus, you cannot force that onto someone to believe. It has to be done willingly. They still have a veil over their heart because their sins blind them. They're unwilling to give them up. So the only way to remove the veil is to confront God, to surrender and to say, God, my ways are no good. I need help. I need change. I need you. And this means to repent. This means to change our minds and to change directions. This cannot be something that you can force on somebody. And if you try to, it can actually make things worse. In the same way that we can't remove physical cataracts on our own, we need a doctor. Spiritual cataracts requires God to remove. And in verse 18, it says, all of us who have had the veil removed, we reflect the glory of God. The Lord makes us more and more like Him. So how we interact with people who have not accepted Christ is important. Just as Paul says in Colossians 4, verse 5 to 6, live wisely among those who are not believers and make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversations be gracious and attractive so that you will have the right response for everyone. So we often speak without thinking, which can hurt others, but we have a choice to be mindful and intentional with our words, allowing us to share the good news. And Paul tells us to communicate in a way that draws others to God, make it attractive. This is so we can create interest that leads people to inquire about the faith. It's also important to remember we do not judge those who do not have Christ in their heart. It is in our responsibility to judge them. Outsiders will be judged by God. So when conversing with others, we should be mindful and remember that they don't know God. Give them grace, because there was a time when we didn't know Christ either. And no matter what someone told us, it did not make us a believer. That's because only God can do that. And God does that, but they have to do it willingly. They have to turn their face to Him. They have to confront Him. And there's a reason why they can't see the glory of God. If you go to 2 Corinthians 4:4-7, Satan, who is the god of this world, has blinded the minds of those who don't believe. They are unable to see the glorious light of the good news. They don't understand this message about the glory of Christ, who is the exact likeness of God. You see, we don't go around preaching about ourselves. We preach that Jesus Christ is Lord, and we ourselves are servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, "Let there be light in the darkness," has made light shine in our hearts. So we know the glory of God that is seen in the face of Jesus Christ. We now have this light shining in our hearts, but we ourselves are like fragile clay jars containing this great treasure. This makes it clear that our great power is from God, not from ourselves. So for those who do not know Jesus, the devil is working tirelessly to blind their minds, preventing them from seeing the love, the grace, and the glory of Christ. But God has shown His light into our hearts, revealing the knowledge of His glory. He has opened up our eyes and allowed us to see. We're no longer blind. This is why we give others grace. They don't have this knowledge, and we have to live our life by reflecting the knowledge that God has given to us. We do this by living a holy life, forgiving others as He did, and showing love, compassion, and grace. So our words and our actions are a reflection of Him. So before I finish here, let's just remember that while we may have a heartfelt desire to share the truth of Jesus with those around us, we have to remember that we must approach this conversation with wisdom and grace. True understanding and belief only come through a personal encounter with Him. And as we reflect His glory in our actions and words, let's be mindful how we communicate the good news, making it accessible to everyone and inviting. May we continue to lift others up in prayers, trusting that God will work in their hearts and unveil the truth to them in His perfect timing. So thank you for joining me today. Until next time, keep shining your light and sharing His love. Bye-bye.